Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello everyone, this is Henry Will, and welcome to another pmlessonslearned.com conference call. This is call number 78. Today is August the 20th, 2009. Tonight we will be having a discussion with some panelists about non-IT project management. Before we get into that, I just wanted to make a couple of quick announcements because people are asking about what is PMLessonsLearned.com all about. Well, we were started a little bit more than 3 years ago. We started out with one call per month. That call was called our PM Lessons Learned call, and we discussed PM best practices on that call. And then soon thereafter, we added another couple of calls. So now what we have is on the first Thursday every month, we have a call with where we discuss PMP study information for those studying for the PMP exam. Second Thursday, we have a PM Job Shop call where we discuss project management career topics. And then the third Thursday every month is this call, PM Best Practice call. We also recently added a virtual study group, which is held every Tuesday night. Of course, that call is a little bit different than all of our others. All of our monthly calls do not require anyone to have any type of commitment. They don't even technically have to identify themselves on the call. They're open to anybody that wants to join us. But the Tuesday night calls that happen weekly are a little bit different in that people have to make a commitment to join that group. They have to make a commitment that they're going to study for the PMP. And those calls are where people take turns presenting PMP subjects, PMP exam-related subjects. So if you're interested in that, you can send an email to pmpstudy@pmlessonslearned.com, and the folks that are involved in that group will get back to you. Basically, pmlessonslearned.com is all volunteers. We're all project managers that are interested in advancing the profession. We come from all different countries. We have volunteers from India. We've had people from, actually some people recently that work out publishing our podcast are from England and from all across the United States. I know that on tonight's call we have people from the East and the West Coast. We've had people on our calls from New Zealand before and that type of thing. So we really are a global enterprise, all volunteers, and everything that we do is free and open to all. So with that, tonight I thought it would be interesting to have a session where we could talk about non-IT project management, because we've had people on the call before that have said that they were interested in talking about project management other than IT, because there's a lot of people that aren't involved in IT and they're project managers. It seems a lot of times we have people that are speaking that are more integrated with IT and can talk from that perspective. So I thought maybe it would be interesting to have a call where we could have some project managers that are not involved in IT and go through a list of questions. So I sent out some information on our LinkedIn group. We have several people in that group. We have several people in our PM Lessons Learned Yahoo group. And I would say that probably a couple of dozen people were interested in being on this call this evening. But then I found out later that some of them couldn't make it. I asked people that wanted to be on our panel of non-IT project managers to share their bios with me so that I could share them this evening. And as far as I know, I will share with you the people that I know of that are on this call, and then we'll see if there's anybody else that wants to be part of our non-IT project manager panel. So first we have Vicki Smith. Vicki is somebody that recently became a certified PMP, and she's an e-marketing and online marketing consultant. She's also a social media enthusiast. For those of you that follow her on Twitter, you know that she sends out lots of information about social media. And she's also the founder of Say Wow Marketing. She graduated with a BBA in marketing management and a master's in arts management from Montclair State University here in New Jersey. She's got advertising marketing experience in media and entertainment, and she's also a former jazz vocalist. She's in tune to engaging different audiences and understanding their unique need for value. When the curtain goes up, she makes them all say, wow. So, Becky, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We also have Teresa Ryan Mulvey on the call. Teresa had said that she would try to join us, but I don't hear her on. And then I also had someone else that said they were joined too, Timothy Grammer. You're on, aren't you, Timothy?
Yes, Tim's here.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so Tim is a project management consultant in the biotechnology pharmaceutical industry. He's certified in clinical research, conduct, and management as a program manager for a government-sponsored genomic development program at UC Berkeley. He managed an integrated planning process across numerous functional teams, managed numerous in vitro and in vivo assays, and high throughput screen. He also provided project management for a small pharmaceutical company involved with international consortium to develop new medicines for neglected tropical diseases. And he co-authored National Institute of Health grant application to gain additional funding for the company's NTD, that's Neglected Tropical Diseases Program. He created and managed project budgets and plans, including alliance, communication, risk, and stakeholder management. He also successfully managed quality assurance business process optimization projects for a major pharmaceutical. And he created and implemented the company policies and protocols for the electronic common technical document, that's the ECTD, submission of drug marketing applications to the FDA and to the European Union Regulatory Authority. So, Tim, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Now, are there any other non-IT project managers that we have on the call? I know that Steve Blaze said that he might be able to make it.
Yes, this is Casey Roush, and I did send a bio in, and I'm on the business side.
Okay, Casey, let me see if I can find your... How is Casey spelled?
With a C.
Okay, let me see if I can find it. I'm sorry.
Nope, no worries.
I know that I've had so much email lately trying to sort... short and find the things that I'm looking for, and I'm not finding it, Casey. So if you could share,
sure.
Sorry that I can't. If you could share your bio, we'd love to hear it.
Sure. I've had project management experience in operations, manufacturing management, supply chain, software development, product management. Even when I was in sales, I felt like I was. My project management skills were extremely valuable there. So I've always been on the business side in telecom, in computer networking, and in training, in project management training. And that's kind of a high-level look at it. So definitely all on the business side.
Super. Okay, so some of the questions I had sent out to the people that were interested in being on our panel, we can go through those. But before I do, I was wondering, I know that Scott Percival had also thought about joining. I don't know, is he on the call? Maybe not. Are there any other non-IT project managers on the call before I start in with some of these discussion questions we had? Okay, well, let's start off with the first one. And I guess at this point we've got Casey, Vicky, and we've also got Tim. The first question that we had for discussion was, we're sure that you've had your earfuls of IT project management. How is project management different in the industry that you work at? So if you guys would like to chime in on that, we'd like to hear your response on that. How is project management different from IT project management in the field that you're involved with?
Well, I'll start. This is Casey. And the biggest thing that I see from the business side is that we have that direct interface with the end user. In my role, I've always had that direct interface with the end user that's giving requirements that are going through me into IT. So a little different perspective on on what's required and the fact that they want it like they want it, and they make changes all the time, and they don't care about the schedule, frankly, you know, when you start getting to that side. So I think that's one of the big differences that I see.
Okay.
And this is Tim. For the pharmaceutical standpoint, I think the two biggest differences is, first, the life cycle time, so that the time from identifying a drug to taking it to market is typically 10 to sometimes 15 years. And in the pharmaceutical industry, I think another major one is the sheer number of regulations that are required. Everything from Food and Drug Administration, regulations and guidelines, standards for good laboratory practices, good manufacturing practices, and so on. So those are the two I think are the biggest, is the sheer length of time and then the amount of regulations.
Sure. Yeah, I know most IT contracts don't last that long, for sure, so I could see a big difference there. And I've heard at our local PMI chapter here in New Jersey, we had somebody a few years ago come from the pharmaceutical industry and spoke to us about how long the life cycles are for some of the projects. How about you, Vicky? Do you want to speak to that question?
Sure, I'd love to. I think that a big difference between IT project management and marketing project management, specifically social media especially, with IT projects, a lot of times the stakeholders are internal to an organization. Perhaps it's developing software or some kind of application internally for something in the organization. However, with stakeholders that are outside your organization, particularly if you're working for a company that has a global reach, your stakeholders are everywhere. In social media, especially if something is able to go viral, you have a lot of people that are affected by what you're doing, and it's a lot of outside reach for a company in your projects. Sometimes, you know, the project may last a little bit longer to see how far the reach will go, but I just think that the IT and the marketing differ in terms of the stakeholders that are involved in the project. I find, you know, the reach that I'm able to just reach people on the internet, it's the world is so flat. When you're working in an IT department in an organization, it's somewhat different. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I could see that being the case, especially like you said, social media. It's almost like the world is the stakeholder. It's just there's many people involved because it goes out to everybody.
Yeah.
It can anyway. You hope it does.
Exponentially.
Yeah. Well, the other question that we had too, Tim, was that you? Did you want to chime in?
That was actually Casey again. I was just going to make one other comment that I've been on many, many projects and been a project manager that don't have any relationship to IT at all. We're not developing software. We're not making any changes. It's strictly an implementation of a new network. No system changes at all. So it's I think you have to keep in perspective that it can be totally away from an IT view.
Gotcha. Yeah, one of the other questions that we had here, which we were wondering too, how is non-IT project management similar to IT? What are some of the similarities there are between, and you've probably heard a lot about IT project management, so what are some of the similarities between IT project management and project management and these other industries?
If I may, this is Vicki. I'll take that one because we were just talking about social media.
Sure.
I think something that's very similar in my particular area to IT project management is that you have to keep on top of your technical skills all the time because there's always something new, always something up and coming that's going to wipe out the technical knowledge that you had previously, that you were fine. Just like Microsoft, you always have to stay up on top of what's the new version, you know. You always have to get your new certifications, whatever. Keep on top of your knowledge is key. You know, I may not have technical skills in IT, but I certainly have to have technical skills, not just in marketing, traditionally knowing the four P's, like, you know, your product, your placement, your pricing, and your promotion. Old school, that's when I went, oh, God, I just dated myself. But with social media, you so have to keep on top of what tools are out there or you're going to be, you know, wiped out. So that's totally similar, IT and social media. You have to stay on top.
Gotcha.
And then this is Tim. For the pharmaceutical industry, I think, just to echo that I think a project is a project no matter what industry you're in, as far as they face the same constraints, you know, scope, time, budget, quality, risk, keeping your customers satisfied. Your projects are always going to start out identifying and gathering your requirements and then trying to manage to meet those requirements. And particularly in the large pharmaceutical companies, you're going to have the virtual global teams, which many times the software industry will have as well.
Sure. Okay, well, let's go on to the next question. This one has to do with, I guess, the level of acceptance of PMI, PM body of knowledge, and how it applies to your industry. In the industries that you folks work in, do you find that the industry subscribes to the PMBOK and to PMP certification, and does the PMBOK apply to your industry? I'll give you an example before you think about your response, but I know a few people that work in the construction industry, and they've told me that they didn't even know that there was such a thing as a PMP, you know, certification test that they could take and process that they could go through. And the ones that said that they did know about it said that, you know, really within their industry, it's not really found to be, it's not valued as much in their industry, and not that many people have it, and it's doesn't really matter that much. I know in the IT industry, a lot of times when folks are looking for project managers to be on their projects, they will ask that they're PMP certified. That seems to be more and more the case nowadays when people are looking for project managers to say that they have to be PMP certified for IT jobs. I was wondering, in your industries, do you find that the PMBOK applies? Do you find that it's valued in that industry? Do you find that PMP certification matters or not in your industry?
Well, I've seen it go back and forth. At the company I'm at now, I've seen it 9 years ago be very high with a lot of focus on it and putting in standards and so forth. And then when the 2001 crash, that, you know, everything came out from under that and said, okay, we can't support that. Now that things are better, it's being supported again and very strongly right now.
Sure, that's good. Good to hear that.
Yep.
This is Vicki. I'm sorry. This is Vicki. I just wanted to say that when I got recently certified, it was an agency that paid for my certification, an agency that specifically places marketing professionals in positions. So they understand the value. It's the creative group on their division of Robert Half International. So there are agencies who specifically place marketing professionals in marketing project management positions. So that's one particular place that I can say really values the PMI certification as PMP. However, there are certain companies that do not recognize the value of what PMPs have to offer. And we can go on, you know, there's a question further on down the list where we can discuss that further, but there are those that do value it in marketing project management, and I would say if you're looking to find those, go to an agency specifically that places those kind of spots, and they totally do.
Mm. Sam, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, for the pharmaceutical industry, I would say as far as does the PMBOK apply, absolutely. The framework that's laid out in the PMBOK definitely applies as far as the need for a project charter. The pharmaceutical industry is very good about analyzing the business case, knowing that it's going to cost over $1 billion to take a drug to market.
Wow.
What's the market already? What's the competitive advantage? And they'll develop oftentimes what's called a target product profile or a TPP, which analyzes all the characteristics that they want, and that's going to go into the charter. And then they do everything, all the procurements, cost analysis, communications planning. However, the PMP certification, I would say, is not highly valued right now. I think executives think it's a nice to have, but they prefer industry experience over a PMP. My feeling is that if you're a PMP without pharmaceutical experience, they're not going to trust you to be capable of understanding what's going on, versus if you're a technical expert, say in regulatory or chemical manufacturing or the clinical side, they'll trust you to do the project management. And so I think that's, unfortunately, where it stands right now.
Well, that's helpful. And actually, that leads into another question that I had, too, which was having to do with the career path for a project manager. You mentioned about how much, if somebody already has experience in the field, they're welcomed into the project management of that. I was wondering, in each of your industries, what do you find as the career path to being a project manager? And, you know, an example from the IT industry would be, you know, usually somebody that in the IT industry that would be, let's say, if you're in the software development area, which I've had a lot of experience in, you find that the people that are, you know, they'll be like a developer, then they'll be a senior developer, they'll be a team lead for the developers, and then eventually they'll work their way into a project management role. So I was wondering, in your industries, how do people work into the project management role? Is there a certain career path to getting there?
I think it's less clear what the career path is. It's sometimes just by accident.
I would say definitely for the pharmaceutical industry, it is the technical expert becoming a project manager by accident. That typically in the life cycle, you have, again, on a 10 to 15 year life cycle, you'll usually have a core team that stays with the project the whole time. That'll have a project team leader, and oftentimes with that person, there's the project manager. But then you have all the functional area representatives from regulatory, marketing, clinical, non-clinical, manufacturing. And oftentimes, people from those functional areas, if they're on a project where they've developed a drug product, say, for 5-10 years, and maybe they've gone on to do a second one, oftentimes they'll say, you know, I'm interested in all these other aspects of the managing. They'll switch to a project management role from a functional role. And that's typically how it happens. It almost never happens the other way, where a project manager can switch to become a functional leader.
May I just share my personal experience with choosing the career path to becoming a certified PMP? It's very unique. I actually had entrepreneur experience, and any business that I had worked for, it was a project. So all of that experience that I had, I realized that I was able to apply to project management and get a PMP certification and have a refined methodology. Because as an entrepreneur, and I think, you know, any entrepreneur can attest to this, that their clients, right, they're working on projects. So they're very temporary. They're unique. They fill all of the qualifications to be a project. So you kind of move along that path and just build up that way. And then you just find your own specialty. So I was in marketing. I was doing sales. And I was always online. I had a website, VickySmith.com, for many years. So I just kind of kept refining it. So that's my particular career path and how I decided to become a project manager. And any project that I would tackle from here forward would be refined. So I think maybe there are other project managers along that path, too. I'm not sure. But that's my own story.
Thanks for sharing that,
Vicky. I got into the field when I was a product manager, and I had never heard of project management or PMI. And somehow something about that came across my desk, and I started looking at it and saying, well, you know, I spend probably more than half my time as a product manager managing products, new product introduction, the development of the catalog, whatever it might be that is a sub-project that you're responsible for. And that's what led me into project management, and then I've used that as I've changed to sales and I've changed to operations and marketing. I've used those same skills across all those different functional areas.
That's good. How about you, Tim? Do you want to share how you came to be a project manager? Or is it pretty much the path that you described earlier?
It's pretty much exactly the path I described earlier, that I was actually a research scientist. I have a PhD in biochemistry.
Wow.
And then I was doing essentially what's very early drug development, drug discovery, and then got much more interested in the business side of, okay, how do we take these ideas out of the laboratory and commercialize them to the point that we're actually helping people's healthcare? And so then I started moving into the regulatory side. I took some certification classes and then realized that project management was a really nice career choice to touch all of the aspects of the entire project. I think as the person spoke earlier, I was on the product development and product management, and then that sort of led me to project management.
Right. Yeah, I'll share my story. I mean, I have more of an IT background, but you know, I started out as a software developer, and gee, I think it was the very first job that I had soon after I had started there. I guess, you know, in a way, you know, people have a propensity towards certain things, and I seem to have a propensity towards being a leader. So that aspect of my personality was kind of recognized by my management, and when they needed somebody to do some management of the project that we were on, they asked me to be involved in that. And I started doing project management soon after I started my career. And I was doing project management for years, different places that I worked, until probably I didn't even know about project management certification until I joined a consulting company to work on Y2K, and that was back in 1998. So I started working on my certification, and then I got my PMP certification in the year 2000. So, and most of the reason why it took so long is because I self-studied. I didn't even, our company had a stipulation, you had to work there a certain number of months before you'd be allowed to take the classes, and then I hadn't been there long enough, and then after I was there long enough, they stopped giving the classes, so I had to study on my own, so it took a while to get the certification, but, you know, similar path to what you guys said about coming through, if you want to say coming through the knowledge of the industry first and having done the work and then working into a project management position. Mm-hmm. So I guess another question that's sort of related to this is the question about, you know, that might be the path to becoming a project manager, but one of the probably the most popular calls that we've had on TMLessonsLearned.com, one of the most downloaded call that we've had was about, is project management a dead-end job? And Steve Blaise talked to us about what other career paths are there once you are a project manager, what could you grow into, if you want to say. So one of the questions that we had here, that these are all questions that I received either by email or I came up with or whatever, several people had chimed in. But one of the questions that we had was, you know, once somebody becomes a PM, what kind of other positions can they work into? And another portion, a second follow-up to that would be, do you know of any executives in your industry that were originally a project manager and had worked into an executive position?
Well, I'll answer the second part of that. My daughter-in-law is a PMP, and she's moved from a business analyst to a senior director in just a few years. So she's been very successful at doing that.
Good. And what industry is she in?
Software development, QA.
Right, good. How about in your industry, Casey? Have you found, what kind of career paths that the project managers have there?
I think it's valued much more than it used to be, and there is, unfortunately, a specific career path that says, you know, if you do this, you can get this kind of advancement or anything like that. It's more up to you to use that and get advancement in traditional ways and use that as one of your skills that you can enhance your resume with, I guess I would say.
Uh-huh.
And I have not noticed anybody at a director or above level who's certified.
Gotcha. So usually, you want to chime in?
Yeah, sure. Actually, for myself, okay, I'm a consultant now with Saywell Marketing, and I'm looking for an actual full-time position, so I'm going to transfer out of being a project manager, now that I'm certified, to doing something in my field that I'm very passionate about, social media, online marketing. So I have the technical skills to do that. So being a project manager is going to add value to that package for an employer. So I think that you have a lot of open roads if you have the technical skills and not just the methodology. It kind of makes you a holistic candidate for anything that you tackle. And since I love social media and strategy and I'm all about LinkedIn, you know that, Henry, right? And I just want to share one thing with you, that if you're really interested in taking a look at the career path for a particular title, you can do a search for people and you can look for project managers. And you can take a look in their history and see if they've done it in the past. You can change it from current to past. You can take a look at the career path that they've had. I've seen a lot of project managers because I did, you know, take a look at that too. And I looked and I saw that a lot of them were business analysts and they kind of moved up the chain to becoming a project manager. So you can also use LinkedIn to do that. I don't know if you're aware, but I just love social media strategy, so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there, that you can also take a look for yourself.
All right.
Hello.
Yes. Who's that?
This is Steve Blaise here, Henry.
Oh, okay. Steve has joined us. Okay. I asked if you were on the line earlier.
Yeah, I came in just a bit late and missed that.
Yeah.
One of the things I was going to mention in terms of upward mobility for project managers outside of project management, if you're looking to do that, one of the focuses that you should make is your interpersonal skills, your human relations, looking at, again, the PMP thing, looking at the teaming, developing teams, letting teams self-organize and that type of thing. The better you are in the human relations side, the more likely you'll be able to move out and into management. A lot of project managers focus only on the deadline and the budget and hitting the targets and that type of thing. And those are, you know, there's a certain amount of need for that at the upper level. but there's a significant more need in the leadership category for the ability to deal with people. And the more you hone that, that's why there's a couple of the people said that business analysts had moved up. Business analysts are primarily focused on the dealings with people and influence skills and negotiation. So that's the key to moving from project management up into the upper-level business management roles.
So it's yet another example of how the soft skills will probably help you more in the longer term than the hard skills.
Yes, and in the past, the project management body of knowledge had a lot of emphasis on the hard skills, and now it's getting a little bit more emphasis on the side of the soft skills. And one of the things that I've been reading a lot recently is all these articles about the EQ, emotional quotient, and how important that is to people's careers. And on top of that, there is a book out there about, you know, EQ having to do with project management.
You know, in all the jobs I've had where I do project management, I have yet to have a title that says project manager. You know, I'm a business development manager now. I've been an operations manager, a sales exec, a product manager, lots of different titles, but none of them had the word project manager in them.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah, one of the other questions that we had that kind of ties in with some of these discussions that we're having here is, you know, in the IT industry, a lot of times when somebody's called on to be a project manager, and I've seen this happen sometimes when a job posting is made, and the job rec will actually state this, but, you know, they'll say things like they want people to have technical expertise, and sometimes project managers are even called on to wear more than a project manager role hat, if you want to say. They'll be asked to wear other hats. For instance, people have, and recently we were talking about business analysts, you know, I know a lot of project managers have told me that in addition to performing the project management role, they're asked to also perform business analyst role. I've also seen times when people were asked as project manager, and this is in the IT industry, to be involved as either a DBA, a database administrator when they're a project manager, or sometimes even being asked to be a software developer at the same time as being a project manager. And I myself have been involved in positions where I've been called on to be all four of those things, a business analyst, a DBA, a coder, or a software developer, and the project manager all at the same time. So I was wondering, in the other industries that you folks are speaking of, what has been your experience? Are project managers usually called on in your industry to solely concentrate on project management and to make sure they get that discipline working correctly, you know, using their methodologies? Or do you find that a lot of times, similar to IT, that the project managers are called on to wear different hats or to perform different roles? And what would those roles be?
In the outside of IT, the project manager, the managers or senior people, and we're talking managers here being line managers, business managers, when they become project managers, usually they'll either be managing a particular project and keeping their team going and getting the bills out or their invoices out or whatever their particular job is, and they'll do the project management as part of their job, managing a particular project. A project to identify all of the late-term collections for a manager in accounts receivable. And it'll be a kind of a part-time thing. Other places, such as the Federal Reserve, they will decide management, the business, will want a particular job done, a particular project done, determining a new way of handling an interest rate, for example. And the manager will be excused from their line management role, whatever they're doing, or the senior technician or whatever, and they will become a full-time project manager for the length of that project. And when the project is over, successful or not, they go back to their original job. So those are two different ways that I've seen that the business, in neither case is that does the project manager have as part of their job to pick up any technical thing. If you're going to be helping get a set of collections in the collections department created as a project or create a new form or something, they don't also do something else in collections. They just manage the project, which means that I would guess that if you did a percentage of success on the non-IT side, you might have a higher percentage of success since you don't have the side jobs that we have in IT.
I think it depends on the definition of what the project is, doesn't it? Because currently I'm working on a rollout of a new service offer worldwide, and that's a big umbrella to say that. Underneath that, as in many things, there's many sub-projects, so I'm wearing lots of different hats to make that happen. You know, I'm the communication person for the different contacts around the world. You know, there's lots of different things that wouldn't be strictly project management, but it's a big part of it. But also, I'd be curious to know if what tools, what project management tools other people use. Do you use Microsoft Project? Do you use Excel? How do you manage your projects?
Okay, if I may, this is Vicki. I wanted to say that if you work for a not-for-profit, you're going to have more than likely a chance that you will be working in an environment where you need to wear many hats. You need to make sure that the company survives. You know, I worked for the largest jazz radio station in the United States, WBGO. A jazz radio station, you can hear it on the internet, wbgo.org. Not a promo, I promise. But I just wanted to say that, you know, when you have a not-for-profit organization that you work for and you have projects that are related to sales, which is the area that I was in, you have to work with a lot of different departments, marketing, the accounting department. I needed to work with the IT department. And sometimes I would have to wear a hat of being on a fund drive to make sure that the radio station brought in the revenue. So I did what I needed to do for the survival of the station. And, you know, I don't know if that's the same for other not-for-profits, but with my experience in working at other not-for-profits, I've had the same thing. You just have to, you know, do what you have to do to get the job done, and even more so, sometimes you'd have to work extra hours, whatever it took for the survival of the place that you're working at and for your, you know, paycheck. Ultimately, you know, we all need to survive. So I think that in my experience in working for not-for-profits and for profits, at the not-for-profit, I was more likely to be involved in projects that were not necessarily in project management.
You know, I this is Satnam, if I may. I think it really depends on the size of the company. The larger the company, the less likely you are going to be involved in the nitty-gritty technical stuff. I have seen in my current work we were doing with a small startup, and, you know, being a project manager, I wrote their requirements, I wrote their communication plan, I wrote their testing plan. And also tested some of the systems they built. And so they require basically you to do practically everything. Whereas when I was working at Telcordia, in fact, that's where I learned most of my project management stuff, which I later tested. But there you did pure project management. You did the analysis on risk. You followed all the procedures. You closed down the project properly. You did lessons learned. You did all the documentation of project and get all the signatures from appropriate parties. So that was a proper project management. However, I'm a little disappointed to say that a lot of the companies, they just use PM as a gate. Once you get inside, they don't know the meaning of PMP, even the people who are qualified to do PMP. A lot of them, they just don't follow, just do whatever they want to do. So I have come to the experience that it's a qualification nice to have. Most of it is common knowledge or experience that you gain on work on how to do things. The rest of it is, it seems to me, is just it's a way to keep the PMI in business. I have, quite honestly, for the last 10 years that I've been working in this area, I have not seen more than maybe one place where they have implemented this methodology properly.
And it's probably why you see the extensions that the PMI has published for, like, the construction industry, for government, because there are a lot of places like that that have not implemented all of these things. And while folks may think that they are nifty standards to use, they're probably also marketing tools that, that the PMI is trying to implement to have more acceptance, more adoption of their practices, because then the PMI wins.
Well, I think, you know, the earlier question somebody asked, I think it was Henry, as to how many people in the senior ranks are PMPs, because if they're the ones PMPs, they will understand the value of it, because in a couple of places I've seen the senior executives come in and they say, okay, guys, here are the dates we want to meet, figure out how you're going to do it, irrespective of what it needs to be done, how many resources you're going to need, what are the risks, nothing like that. Most of it is just, here are the dates. And most of the time, they're arbitrary. So, yes, it is true that if the senior people had this education, I would say, then it would be very valuable. Now, how does one go from being once you're pigeonholed into a PMP or project manager, there are some, you can go on to being a portfolio manager or a program manager, but it is rare that I have seen those people go into the VPs and senior VP ranks. Maybe it's a little early, I don't know.
This is actually another thing that I had in the list of questions here leading into this, which is what the support is from upper management for project management within your industry. And I was wondering if maybe Casey and Vicky and Tim could chime in on this, but you know, a lot of times in the IT industry, we talk a lot about how difficult it is to get the support of senior management for implementing project management on our projects. And if we don't have that support for project management at the upper levels, then it's very difficult to get it implemented on a project. So I was wondering, is that similar cases in the industries that you folks live in or work in?
This is Tim. Certainly for the pharmaceutical industry, I want to echo a lot of what he said about depending upon the size of the company. If you have a small startup, maybe they're trying to design a new medical device or they're trying to just get a drug out of development towards commercialization so they can be bought, I don't think they really value the project management nearly as much as the technical expert. So they typically have the technical expert who they're like, well, yeah, manage your project, but really just get the stuff done. Don't spend a lot of time sitting back planning, just get to work. And if you're a developer RACI chart, you might find out that you're responsible for half the things on that RACI chart. Whereas in the large pharmaceutical company, it's much different, is that unfortunately the technical person becomes the project manager, and yet they still want to stay in that technical world, but really their role is not to dive and become the subject matter expert, but really to manage the project. I think senior management at the executive level of a large pharmaceutical company really values that. They value the project management of keeping everything on timeline, on budget, because, you know, getting to market is so important that oftentimes that's the goal. However, to echo again a statement that was said earlier, I've never seen a senior level CEO suite with a PMP. Usually they have to have an advanced degree, whether it's an MBA, an MD, a PhD. I've never seen a project manager rise to the level in a large pharmaceutical company. However, you could always leave a large pharmaceutical company and go to start a startup.
This is Vicky. I think that in my area in marketing, I think the PMP or PMI doesn't have the same meaning as ROI. And I think that's pretty much what it's all about to them. They want to know what their return of their investment is going to be. So I think that in the IT area particularly, I think that the PMP is highly valued. I really do. I think that in the pharmaceutical area, bringing drugs to market is highly valued. However, unless you're at an agency that may place marketing type of positions, in the corporate world where I have been, the PMP is not as valued in the marketing area, unless you're in a smaller agency working on a project for a larger client. So to answer that question, I kind of got off on a tangent, as I'm known to do. The high-level executives do not have the PMPs. They have the MBAs or the master's degrees. I haven't seen the PhDs up there. But the C-level executives, I have not found to have PMPs.
All right. There was another couple of questions here. I know that we're kind of running out of time, but there's a couple of questions here that I'd still like to discuss. One of them was that, actually, let's interject a question here. Casey, I think it was, had asked about the use of tools for project management in your industries. I know that in the IT industry, you know, we a lot of times what I've seen being used was Microsoft Project. I've seen Excel spreadsheets being used sometimes. What's prevalent in the industries that you folks are involved with?
For the pharmaceutical industry, it's kind of frightening that right now I'm doing consulting, and in several of the major pharmaceuticals, it's almost project management by PowerPoint. In fact, most of the time when I get a computer from the company, they don't even have Microsoft Project on the computer, and I have to use my own company's computer to do that and convert to Excel or PowerPoint or sometimes just PDFs. So unfortunately, I think in a lot of the pharmaceutical companies, Microsoft Project has not become the norm.
Yeah, I have yet to see that become a norm in any of the different companies I've been with. I've seen some attempts and then abandonments because it was just not very feasible to keep up with it, and people went back to their spreadsheets, which personally I used. So I was not unhappy to go back to my spreadsheet, I have to admit.
How about things like open source tools, open office, things, I mean, open workbench, things like that, with some of the not-for-profits or some of the other industries have more of an open source bent?
Sure. I think that Google Wave is going to be the next big thing. It's a big online tool open for people to be able to share documents wherever they are and have conversations in real time about those documents. And I think, you know, especially online, if you're in marketing or maybe you're pharmaceutical and you're working with stakeholders that are not in the same location as you, to be able to do that is going to be very powerful. For myself, the tools that I've used are, you know, a lot of Microsoft-based. Yes, we have Project, we have PowerPoint, any of the visual presentations that we can share, and however we can make them presentable to whatever stakeholder is involved and however they want to receive their communications. But I think that it's going to be all online. I think people are moving mobile, and I think that a lot of these tools are going to be available for all of us, and the good thing is that they're going to be standardized for project managers.
Excuse me, Aude, could you repeat what the name of the product is? Google what?
Oh, Google Wave, like, woohoo, ride the wave. Okay,
oh.
It's the wave. It's
okay.
Called Google Wave, and I have to say there's a really, really cool video that you can check out online, too, where
uh-huh.
they were presenting this product at a conference, you know, kind of like Steve Jobs does his thing for Apple and he does his online presentations. If you search for Google Wave and click on the tab for videos, you'll come up with it. It's really a great product. I'm not sure if it's still in their sandbox or, you know, for the software developers, but it's definitely coming to market if it isn't already there, definitely this year. I would check that out. Then you can really share your documents and all make changes to it and do it in real time. And it's a highly valuable tool for project managers.
How secure is it?
I'm not sure. You can definitely check that out, and I'm sure that you can ask questions and probably get answers in real time. There's probably some Twitter account if Google hasn't already bought Twitter. Yeah. Okay, but I think it's all going online, and we're all going to be mobile project managers. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
All right, let's move on to another question. This was one that has to do with what are the most important aspects of project management in your industry. I know that in the IT industry, some of the things that really need to be watched very closely are things like change management, for instance, because it seems in the IT industry there's a lot of changes that come up during the course of the project, and those changes can be quite expensive and quite extensive. And then also another thing that seems to be very big in the IT industry for project management is communications. It's pretty important to have good communications on a project that is so involved technically. So in the industries that you folks are involved in, Casey, Vicky, Tim, and any others that are non-IT project managers, What would you say are important aspects of project management in the industries that you work in?
Relating to change?
No, not necessarily relating to change, but maybe you're going to tell me that change is very big in your industry. I'm just saying, what aspects of project management, what functions, what portions of project management as far as the knowledge areas, what are the things that are most important from project management that really need to be concentrated on or focused on in your industry because of the way that your industry operates? Like I said, in the IT industry, change management is one that we really have to keep our eyes on because there's lots of changes in the IT industry. I don't know. Maybe you're going to tell me that in the industries you folks work in, risk management's really big or resource management is really big. I don't know, and that's the question.
I would say for the pharmaceutical industry, the two biggest ones are, well, other than obviously communication, would be procurement and risk. And the reason for procurement is because right now you can essentially outsource everything in drug development except for ultimate accountability. You can outsource the laboratory to some agencies. You can outsource all the clinical trials of testing the drugs in humans to CROs, contract research organization. You can outsource all the manufacturing of your drug to CMOs, contract manufacturing organizations. And you could essentially be almost a small five-person setup and outsource the entire life cycle of the drug. So procurement management is huge. Obviously, risk management is number one because you're dealing with people's health, whether you're giving them a pill or putting a medical device into them. Patient safety is number one.
Well, and for me, change management is important in that it can't impact the delivery date. So if a program has to be out by October 1st, it's got to make October 1st, even if you have to take features away. So paramount is meeting the target date because that's been communicated out to the customers, and it's a hard deadline.
And for myself and in online marketing project management, I would say that of the 9 knowledge areas for PMBOK, I would say that the risk is one of the most important aspects because online marketing is very technology related, and the world is really, you know, it's global, and there are a lot of people sharing their knowledge, and technology can just get outdated right away. There are a lot more people involved too, so there's a lot more risk. There's a lot more availability for people to spread a message. It could be something PR related that might be something negative about your company, and if you're not on top of it, monitoring your brand, it can go haywire. I think also that the communications area is very important, keeping on top of all of the tools that you have to not just to know how people want to receive their communications, but especially if you're online, you might have to communicate with someone, and you've got to know the best way to do that, to know what's available, whether it's, Google Wave. I'm glad that I could, get that to you. But there's just a lot out there, and it's open source. It's people are sharing 24/7 all around the world. So I think those are two very important areas, risk and communication.
All right, and then probably the last question that we'll take from the list that came in ahead of time, and then we'll open it up to see if there's a few questions we can field from the audience. As far as project managers are concerned, if somebody is an IT project manager, and I'm asking this question because I know that I've been at other places where we've had non-IT project managers speaking and presenting, and one of the questions that has come up from IT project managers is, if I'm an IT project manager, is there a path for me to break into the field that you're in? Can I make the transition from an IT project manager to a project manager in the field that you're involved with?
I would say you'd have to have the knowledge, the specific industry knowledge relevant. I couldn't say that I could easily break into an IT project management position at all. There are so many people out there, especially now, that are job seekers that the market is really in the court of the employer. So someone with industry experience is certainly going to win over someone who just happens to be a project manager. I don't think that that's transferable enough. I believe someone already said that on this call, that they had, maybe it was you, Henry, wasn't it, that you had moved up from the same industry?
Yes, that's right.
It was. Yeah, so I think it's just the timing is everything, and I think now, you know, there are a lot of job seekers out there who do have specific industry knowledge who might be able to get a leg up on that. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I've only seen a couple people move from the IT side to the business side, and conversely, I've only really known one person that's moved from the business side to the IT side. Somehow there seems to be a wall there. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's been my experience.
Yeah.
No, I've done both. I've done business management and project management on the IT side, as well as business management that wasn't project management. So I've kind of gone back and forth over the past 40 years. Where I've gone from IT management to project management on the business side is where I've done a project in an area. So whoever said that you need the experience, that's true. I would not have gotten that project management, non-IT project manager job if I hadn't been already working in that area.
Right.
And I don't know if my experience has been that there hasn't been a lot of movement back and forth. I'm not sure if it's because people don't want to move and they're not interested in it, or they're not able to make the move. I really don't know.
That's a good point. If you're in IT, you might not want to be over in the business and vice versa.
Yep.
Well, supposing that if you wanted to go into business management, how would you go about doing it?
Probably, in my case, it was knowing someone and being there. I don't know that you could actually formulate a plan for doing it. And if you did formulate a plan, it probably have to involve getting to know the people on the business side. But if you look at the PIN block for years, it said that project management skills are independent. You should be able, if you're a project manager in anything, you should be able to manage projects in anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be the biggest misnomer in this business.
Yep, well,
you had said something earlier about soft skills and being able to have the ability to work with people. I think that's a definite need in a business management kind of a role that takes on different responsibilities, where IT project management may not have to deal with people on such a regular basis. My husband is an IT network engineer, so he doesn't have to have those soft skills to deal with management except when he's really reporting on some project that he's working on. But I think there's a different set of skills in that area, and I just wanted to add that.
I think if you want to move from IT to business, a business degree would, if you can go for your MBA or something like that, that would be a big benefit.
Yeah, education, right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think at this stage in life, I don't know whether that investment is going to pay off.
Always a consideration, yep.
You know, because if you look at any MBA program, you're not looking at anything less than $35,000, $40,000.
Yep.
Plus 2 years of all your evenings and weekends.
Yes, at least 2 years, if not more.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
And I don't know that whether it's going to make that much of a difference in salary.
It may not, exactly right.
Okay, so I think that we got some good answers there and some good discussion. I know that we come up to about an hour now at this point from the time that we started. Are there any people that have any questions other than the ones that we've covered for the people that are on our panel? We asked every single question that can be asked, I guess.
You have a sneeze.
You know, the one question I have is that if somebody wants to go into a government services, government is the only one who's hiring, even though they're not paying much. How does one go about doing this?
There's a periodical. I don't know what else you'd call it. It comes out, if I recall, it comes out at least weekly, if not maybe even more, that lists government jobs. If you're an agency. You have an opening, and you clear the opening through the OPE or the OMB. You clear it, and then you post it there, and that allows, first of all of the covered government employees who want to move, they have the first shot at it. But then it's open to anybody outside the government, and that's a public. It's probably online now. In the old days, I didn't see it online, of course. It's similar to the Commerce Business Daily. The Commerce Business Daily also has job positions as well.
What was that periodical called, the weekly, you said, for the government?
It was something like federal, it's from the Federal Procurement It's something like federal job positions or something like that. It's federal and personnel are in the title. And you know, I haven't used it in 10, 15 years, but I believe it's still a periodical that comes out on at least a weekly basis. And it comes out. It used to come out the same day. The Plymouth Business Daily used to come out on a daily basis, and there was a once-a-week summary of all of the bids out there, and it came out the same day. They came out together. If you look up under Federal Office of Personnel or the OMB, Office of Management and Budget, if you go to their websites, there should be a link in there someplace to it.
Okay.
I just did a Google search while we were on, and I did on my BlackBerry, but don't tell anyone. I did a search for government jobs on Google, and right away, a lot of the government website comes up, USA Jobs, the federal government's official job site. You probably know about that, but I'm sure that if you wanted to, you could even ask a question about that on LinkedIn. That's a great forum. I highly recommend.
Yep.
But definitely do a Google search, and even more, you can do a search for news on it. You can kind of link in to see what kind of news is going on about these government jobs that everyone's talking about. Where are they, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
I would suggest that you think about joining the PM Job Shop call that we have on the second Thursday every month. I know that they've had people from the Labor Board involved in those calls before. Scott Percival puts those together, and he's had some great presenters, and they probably would be able to give you some good answers to that question as well.
Okay. Since Dana's not on a BlackBerry and losing in front of my laptop here, that the actual website that Google points you at is www.usajobs.gov.
This is Tim, and I would say again, most of my background is with the pharmaceutical industry. But if you're an IT person looking for work, I strongly recommend you look at the healthcare sector. Healthcare IT infrastructure is going to be huge in the next 5 years. Obama's recovery package has put $36 billion into setting up healthcare information exchanges, reimbursement plans to doctors and healthcare providers, and it's going to be an enormous, they're calling it the superhighway of the healthcare system, and hearkening back Eisenhower highway development plans of the 50s. I mean, it's going to be huge for the IT field.
Awesome. Great pointer.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I think I need to pursue one of, because I think the business in telecom is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking.
Well, glad we could help you out there, Satnam.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any other questions? We'll entertain one more question if we have one. Otherwise, I think we're about coming to the end of our time here. All right. Well, not hearing any, I wanted to thank those that are on our panel this evening. Casey, thank you very much. And Vicki, for giving us your time. And Tim as well for calling in and responding. Blaise, as usual, you've been in our calls since the very beginning, 3 years ago. And thank you very much for being involved this evening. And we heard from a few other people that are very involved. I heard that we had Richard Crow out there. Thank you for your involvement as a volunteer. And Satnam, also, you've been somewhat involved with the group before, too, and helped out with some of our calls.
My pleasure.
Thank you to all of you for calling in, and we hope that you continue to listen into our calls. And for those of you listening via the podcast that we'll have as a result of this recording, please send us a note and let us know where you're listening from and give us your thoughts on our group and PM Lessons Learned, and we really appreciate that. You can contact us via the website. You can join our Yahoo group and reply to any of the emails that go out, and you can also look at the Contact Us link on our website. And please take a look there and see, there's a link there that we have, What's in it for you? You can see what the benefits are of listening in to our calls and all the other things that we offer to people. It's all free. So thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. And thank you to our panelists. And thank you to our listeners and to our podcast listeners. And as I always end our calls, God bless you all and keep on learning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Bye.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project Managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.